Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 1. Let's read this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, I just really want to focus on verse 1, that verse 1 of chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, that word anointed, look at this. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. The anointing. Ever think about what is an anointing? What is anointing? We anoint with oil. We use that word. It's a very religious sounding word, but it has a real definition. An anointing. An anointing that he's talking about here is from the Holy Ghost. It's a Holy Ghost anointing, and the Holy Ghost anointing comes when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Ghost, comes up on someone. Well, this is someone he's talking about here. Someone's getting ready to step in and say these words in the earth and say, these are my, this is me. This is who the Spirit of the Lord is upon. This is me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who's going to step in there and take that verse and say, and speak those words as a reality and step in? It's like stepping into those shoes, so to speak. Jesus come along and stepped into this. He stepped into these shoes. He stepped into this position. Since we're in Isaiah, I'm going to go stay right here a minute. Isaiah 10:27. The focus this morning is going to be about the Holy Spirit and the anointing that comes upon through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. So Isaiah 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We've heard that verse so many times. Anointing that breaks the yoke, in other words. You could say it either way. But it's the anointing that does the job, right? Y'all can agree that he's talking about the anointing here. And what is a yoke? A yoke is anything that controls, holds you down. It could be anything. A yoke could be an addiction. A yoke could be sickness, disease. A yoke could be anything. If it's a yoke. A yoke is used to control things. If you take two ox or a horse or a cow and you put a yoke on it and you got a rope to the end of that yoke or a chain, you can make that animal do anything you want it to. It's a yoke. It's a bondage. It's a burden. It's something to control. But we don't want to be controlled by the devil, do we? No. Well, sickness and disease is definitely a yoke. Can't be a bigger yoke than that. So the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. Not maybe, not might, because of the anointing. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke 3, verse 22. And Jesus comes to be baptized of John, and he's 30 years old. He didn't do any yoke breaking until the anointing came. There had to be an anointing for even the Son of God to break yokes off of people, to bring deliverance. And he had to fulfill the prophetic word that was proclaimed over him. And so we have to understand that we've been religiosized. We've been trained wrong. We have been so brainwashed to think a certain way instead of Bible taught properly. Jesus was just as much the Son of God. Everybody can agree with that. When he was 26 years old, 28 years old. But look what happened to Jesus when he goes and he goes to the River Jordan. Verse 22, it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended on the in a bodily shape like a dove upon him." Underline upon. Upon him. The Holy Ghost. And we, of course, we read there, he says that the heavens opened, and John said he saw and he testified and he heard a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, he was his Son all along. But this is an event that took place in the life of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so the Holy Ghost descended on in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And in one version, in one verse, it talks about, and it abode upon him. In other words, it didn't just lighten and take off. It abode. It made its abode upon him. So the voice came from heaven, "This is thou art my beloved Son in whom I am, in thee I am well pleased." Now go with me to chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now he says he's not just was upon him, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. What's a man look like that's full of the Holy Ghost? What would a woman look like that would be full of the Holy Ghost? Jesus was now full. Now he's full of the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit came upon him. In a moment in time, it happened. I'm just reading the word. And look what happened after this. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan," where he'd just been baptized, "and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Anybody had a wilderness experience? Chances are really good the Holy Ghost led you there. You'd have already been prepared to deal with the devil. So what did Jesus do? Do you think the Holy Ghost, do you think the wilderness experience really taught Jesus anything? Well, experience came. He was already prepared to deal with the devil. There was no New Testament. There was no Bible there for him to get a hold of. He'd already been preparing for that wilderness experience. You better be preparing for your wilderness leading experience too. But every single time he defeated the devil with the word of God. Now, the temptation was he was led of the Spirit to be tempted. He wasn't led of the Spirit to be taught. He was led of the Spirit to be tempted. You're going to be led to be tempted. Y'all getting what I'm sharing here? Let's be Bible taught instead of be religious brainwashed. Let's get some revelation. God doesn't use sickness and disease to teach you anything. He doesn't use the devil to teach you something. But you will be tempted to sin. You'll be tempted to walk away from God and what you know already. But you've got to know something to be tempted to run away from it. Don't you know it wouldn't be a temptation if you weren't tempted? Jesus was tempted, but he stood on his word. He stood on the word of God, and he always resisted the devil. If you just learn that and walk away from here today knowing that's all I need to do is use the word and resist the devil and he has to flee from me? Yes, there's a teaching right there. So resist the devil, he'll flee. That's what he did with Jesus but Jesus had a word. The devil couldn't do a word with the word. That's the one thing I have a revelation strong in my life is that the devil can't do anything with the word. Oh, he can do stuff with me. But he can't do nothing with the word that's in me. And if you get yourself out of yourself and get yourself in the word and get the word in your mouth and put the word in the devil's face, you'll run him off too. Because this ain't about you. He's after the word that's in you. So he resisted the devil with the word of God. He always said, "It is written. It is written." He had an "it is written" because he believed the written. He believed what God said about himself. He was the Word of God. But he wasn't even tempted of the devil until after he was full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't a threat to the devil for one thing yet. Now, I don't have all the revelation of all this, but I'm just sharing you what I know. Those wilderness experiences can make you a powerhouse for God. Those wilderness experiences will make you strong. Because you will take your spiritual revelation and you will flex your spiritual muscles against the devil. And you'll stand your ground, having done all to stand. And I'll tell you what, you'll come out. Boy, that victory is sweet when you don't give in to your old flesh. When you don't give in to your old temptations. See, Jesus was tempted. And he was tempted in the ways that every human being will be tempted. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he, thank God, defeated the devil in every area. So I can claim, I can walk in and take hold and know that I always have victory also. See, he's my covering. He's my protector. He's my victor. He's already victorious. And I now just enjoy his victory. Now that's a whole nother way of, a whole nother teaching there. But I want to stay focused here today because we don't have a lot of time on Sunday mornings. And I love the worship and I love the praise, but this word has got to sink deep into your heart. You've got to get this revelation that it is the anointing that's going to break every yoke in your life. It's not going to be done because you cry so much. The yokes won't be broken because you beg so hard. Or God will feel sorry for you above anybody else. You can't get God to move for you through self-pity. Right. That's not what moves God. Mm-hmm. Now, he's compassionate. He has compassion. But you could sit all day long and talk to a refrigerator. If it ain't plugged in, it ain't going to work. You're going to have to get it plugged into the anointing. You want the thing to work? Then plug it in. You want lights to work? Plug it in. Make sure the socket's live and everything's working. There's a way to move in the whole, you flow with the Holy Ghost. You allow him to be upon you. You allow him to be in you and you let him give you grace and anointing. That anointing, the anointing breaks the yoke. So here, let's just go back to Jesus here. Because Jesus is our example in every way. If this is how he did it, this is how you're going to have to do it. He is our example of a man made. I'm telling you, Jesus is a man. Jesus was made a man. With me, hold your place right here. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at something that I think we need to interject right here. Philippians chapter 2. And I think I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I think it's even clearer there. Philippians 2, and it's verse 7. Stripped himself of all privileges and rightful deity. That means he was a man. He was just a man. But he was a special man that was anointed with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came upon him and he was full of the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. You and I will never step into the fullness that Jesus had the Holy Ghost. Well, did Jesus say the same works that I do shall you do also? It's the also that always got me. So if it was the anointing that destroys the yoke, and it's the anointing that teaches you, because you have no need that any man teach you anything, but that anointing, it teaches you all things. He said the Holy Spirit is in you to teach you and guide you and bring things all to your things to your members. The Holy Ghost is on board in every believer. He comes in you with the new birth. He changes your spirit so you can know God. And then he comes upon you if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's for service. The Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. Jesus had both. Just like we do. But if he said the greater works, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to do the greater works. Mm-hmm. Now let's just be real and think about that in reality of what he was speaking. Because as a man, you and I cannot do anything. But as a man, Jesus never did anything either, did he? As a man, until the Holy Ghost came upon him and he was full of the Holy Ghost, he passed the wilderness test. I believe a lot of ministers never step past the wilderness test. They get stuck right there in that wilderness test, kept going back around the mountain. Okay, But let's look at this verse and think about it. Because it says, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, and so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. He became poor that we could be made rich, basically. He did not bring with him his special deity out of heaven when he became that baby in the manger. He became a real man. That's why I love him so much, because he knows exactly what it feels like to be a person. Now, I want to tell you something about the Word of God. You have to receive it by revelation. You cannot read this like a textbook, like you're in college or school. You have to let the Holy Ghost bring revelation to you about these things I'm sharing here today. Even today, while I'm speaking, the Holy Ghost is bringing revelation to your spirit man. Your head might be having some problems with this right now, because it may be foreign language to you. It may be something you've never thought about or heard before. And so you're having to look at it in a different light. But let your spirit man listen. You listen with the ears of your spirit. And so when going back to verse 14 and 15, the point I wanted to make there, I had a point I wanted to make there. There went out a fame of him throughout all the region round. And he taught. And he taught in their synagogues. I say probably biggest part of Jesus' ministry while he was here, 3.5 years of his ministry as a man full of the Holy Ghost, was teaching the Word of God. Teaching and preaching and healing. Teaching and preaching and healing. But he taught. So they had to hear something. They had to hear something taught. When you hear somebody teach something, you're hearing me teach today. You're hearing words coming out of a person. The fame of him came because they heard him teach. The fame. They think, oh, it was all about they got healed. I'm sure they did. But the healing came because of what they heard him teach. That anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. Revelation knowledge. Let's go on to verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue in the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Just like we did. We did the same thing this morning. We opened the book in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And we opened the book in the place where it was written. What was written there? What was written there? Isaiah 61, look what he read. He read the same verse we read. And look what it says. He stepped into those shoes that day. He just goes in like he normally does. They know who he is. He's the carpenter's son. He knows all of his family. His family is there present. But look what he did. He knew something had happened to him. He knew something major took place in his life. I believe he was preparing for it his whole life. Yeah, amen. But there was an anointing that came upon Jesus. You and I have an anointing that we have yet to absolutely step into. Jesus stepped into this anointing. Look what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, how many people have ever read that verse? But he read it in a first-person context. First person. He's reading it from his spirit with a reality. There's a reality now to this verse. Because it just happened. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them, liberty them that are healed, are bruised. To preach acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is that all they could say in a moment like that? Jesus just stepped into his ministry full time. He just stepped into who he was. He didn't just hope he was anointed. He just didn't hope he had the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't just hope that this is true. He knew. He knew he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he knew the assignment. Most Christians never know their assignment. They never know who they're called to be and do. Jesus knew exactly the plan because he was revealed to him, this is me. I believe it was revealed to him before then. But he stepped in and made this announcement. And I heard Kenneth Hagin say, and I want to share this. I heard Kenneth Hagin say that Jesus appeared to him 8 times between 1950 to 1959. And him many things. But one of the things that stuck with me was Jesus told him that this was the passage he used every time he taught the people. That every time he got into a crowd, that was the scripture he would use. That was his main passage, his platform, ministry platform. The Lord has anointed me. I heard Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, not believe me. Can you prove that by the word? No, but you can't disprove it either. And I thought, you know what, I tend to believe that. I just tend to believe that's true. Because if you listen to what people, either they believed it or they didn't believe it. And obviously in the town of Nazareth, they didn't believe that. They didn't believe that, not a bit. But there was somebody, multitudes did believe it. Multitudes did hear it. And multitudes followed him everywhere because of that word. They believed that he was anointed. They believed that he was called of God to break every yoke, to heal the captive, to bring healing, sight to the blind. Well, everything it says. I believe it too. I believe Jesus is the same Jesus today that he was in that day when he proclaimed, this day, this has been fulfilled in your ears. And it has never stopped being fulfilled. In fact, he filled it full, don't you think? Don't you think he fulfilled that? I say he made that fully full. That came to pass. That's one thing that he did perform. He fulfilled his ministry. I tell the Lord all the time, I said, Lord, I know I've wasted a lot of years. Only one day I said, God, I want to fulfill my ministry. I want to fulfill, I'm ready to do it. Ready to do whatever you want me to do. I mean, seriously, it came a place in my will. You know, he says in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 1, 19, says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient to the Holy Ghost, more revelation of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get a revelation that God inside you. God lives in you. You are more God inside. Be God inside minded. Have a revelation that you aren't all alone. You have the Holy Ghost in you. He wants to do major things in your life. And he wants to spill over into other people's lives. It's not about us anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, St. Luke 5. We're just one chapter over from where we were. And let's look at verse 15. I think this verse right here is a real revelation verse. There's a couple real revelation verses I want to give us. 5:15. But so much the more went out there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now, if you study after Kenneth Hagin, who was probably one of the greatest teachers that God ever gave the body of Christ, and you listen to the ministry of, this was one of the verses that he will say over and over and over again, to hear and to be healed. I've heard him say that he pastored 13 years, and he said, I never lost anybody to sickness and disease. Nobody died, he said, under my ministry of sickness and disease. And he said, if they got sick, I got them healed. He said, it might take me hours and days and weeks, but he talks about how important it was to people to hear the word of God.
Yes.
That's why the devil doesn't want people in church, because he doesn't want them to hear and be healed. You got to hear the revelation word to be healed.
Yes.
You have to hear the word.
Yes.
The word, do you understand that the word is anointed? The word is anointed. The word is God breathed. Holy Ghost spoke the word.
Yes.
When you're speaking words, you're speaking Holy Ghost words.
Hallelujah.
He was the one who inspired men to write the words. And Jesus is, you see, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ now in us. Oh, there's a whole revelation there how we are as Gentiles able to have the Holy Ghost up on and in us.
Amen.
Thank God that Jesus died. We have access to the throne of God.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit. But you never can get away from the fact that they came to hear to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the multitudes came. And when they heard, have you ever been in services where you start hearing the word of God and then things just start happening?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in services where you're in an anointed healing service and that anointing can just literally start. Holy Ghost does what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You start preaching on healing, healing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You start preaching on deliverance, deliverance is going to happen. Signs and wonders follow the word that's preached under that anointing. Glory to God. Most people do not understand there is an anointing to covet. Anointing, you want the anointing. And you can increase the anointing or decrease the anointing in your life. The anointing can be increased or decreased. That's something to think about too. If I started watching soap operas, if I started listening to secular music, I stopped reading my Bible, I stopped praying. Well, I still have a Holy Ghost, but the anointing would be diminished because truth would be more in the way. You know, whatever you're feeding is what's going to grow.
That's right.
Do y'all get what I'm saying?
Amen.
It is important that you understand that you are responsible for your level of revelation. You're responsible for your level of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Holy Ghost is in there, in you.
Right.
And you're going to heaven when you die. I'm going to heaven. Even if I close my mouth with good things. I put good stuff in my mouth, in it and out of it. Woo, glory to God. And he renews my youth. The word of God will literally transform you from the inside out.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you, I'm positive of this.
Yes, amen.
I mean, I'm positive.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can either, I've seen it in my own life, I can either increase or decrease that anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Disobedience is just a killer. You can make the heavens brass, or you can open the heavens up and cause that blessings to flow. You know, I'm understanding more and more about how to walk in the blessing. How to walk in that blessing of that prosperity anointing.
Yes.
There is a prosperity anointing.
Yes.
There is a healing anointing. There is anointing for everything you're going to ever need. Just walk in it. Learn how to revelation. Get the revelation of the healing anointing.
Yes. Amen.
And you'll never be sick another day in your life. I bargained with God. I just said, yes, sir. It was more like, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
See, I fear God. I really fear God. But I also have an opportunity to understand that I can either increase this anointing or I can diminish it completely and wane, cause it to wane. But now let's go real quick here to chapter 6 of Luke. Luke 6. Y'all are receiving something here today, right?
Amen.
Y'all getting something. I believe God is speaking to us. I know he is speaking to us. Look at chapter 6 of St. Luke. Remember, Jesus stepped into who he is. I mean, he always was the Son of God, but he stepped into that anointing, the fullness, the power. 17. Verse 17, chapter 6, verse 17 says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed, there it is again, of their diseases. and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Yes. Now, is it possible for one man to run around and touch 2 million people? But the anointing was so strong and so powerful on Jesus' life that he could just get in the crowd and begin preaching, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to heal. He sent me to deliver." And buddy, yokes started breaking off. The anointing started moving. The power of God flowed. People were changed and the crowds knew it. St. John 14. St. John 14 and verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, underline the works that I do. And now what's the prerequisite for that? You got to believe on him. You got to believe what he says. You got to believe this right here too. That means this too, this verse right here. Oh, I'm just not able to do that. Well, then you're just calling Jesus a liar. Because he that believes what he says, the work shall you do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And the argument is completely erased that says, but he was the Son of God, you know. We just never could do what the Son of God did. But it was the anointing that caused the yokes to go. It was the anointing, it was the Holy Ghost. And he's the same Holy Spirit that's in you and me today. He had the same Holy Spirit I have. In fact, he said, tarry in Jerusalem so you can be endued with the same power I have. I'm going to send back the promise of the Father. Glory.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lives will be changed forever because of that anointing. And I went with my back. I couldn't sleep. I was in so much pain with that back, and I claimed my healing. You know how you do. So I'm at Pastor Cal, it's during the Word Rally, one of those rallies, and I was sitting in the audience, and he said, let's just take some time here, and because he flows in that healing anointing like that. And all of a sudden, he started calling out, this just been healed. Somebody's got this going on. They've just been healed. Somebody's back has just been adjusted. And at the very moment he said that, literally my bones moved in my back. I had a bone adjustment, like a chiropractor adjustment in my back. Sitting there. Completely felt it just crunching and popping. I'm thinking, wow, that's the first time in my life I ever had that kind of experience. Literally could feel it.
Wow.
And never had another problem. Never have ever had another problem. Don't wear stilettos anymore, or those high heels anymore, but just completely healed me. But that anointing, see, is what was moving, and it happened in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. So many ministries, if you really study people who have a revelation of this. Remember what T.L. Osborne said? If you know what I know, you can do what I do. That really is a truth. That is such a truth. That is such a truth. He's the same anointing. He talks to me.
Yes.
He talks to me. Tells me things to come. He comes with a lot of benefits. Oh my goodness, some great things come with the Holy Ghost. I'm more open to him now than I've ever been. Because I recognize that some maturity's coming, see? But when you really start growing up and you learn that God wants you to understand how to function in the things of the kingdom, and you can take charge and you can take control, and sickness and disease has to go. Has no place in the child of God's life. That's been taught right.
That's right.
Isn't this good? Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me too. Because it was upon him first. Well, Father, I just seal this word. I seal this word today. Lord, I seal this word. I call it sealed in every heart. I call it sealed in every mind, and Satan, you can't steal it. In Jesus' name. I'm proclaiming peace. The Lord bless you out of heaven. The Lord Almighty bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. Shalom. Shalom to every life. In the name of Jesus. Blessings on your children. Let me bless. Let me pray. Proclaim a blessing over your children right now. Father, you said, I'm proclaiming the word that all our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. And Lord, you also said that our seed would be established before you forever. I decree that. And you said, Father God, that you would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the heart of the fathers back to the children, lest you smite the earth with a curse. Whew, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we proclaim the hearts of the children and their generations are turned back to the fathers. And the fathers' hearts are turned back to the children. And Father God, there is a unity here in Jesus' name among families. Healings among families.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.